I can't. Did you listen to the High and Mighty album?
Unfortunately.
Oh, man.
I know. Look, see, this is what I'm talking about.
Oh, wait till we get to B-Boy Document 99.
Oh, I have a lot of opinions about this.
Wait till we get to the... There's the song on the album about, like, the girl trying to, like, sleep with him, and he's like, I respect myself more than this. It's like role reversal for rappers. It's hilarious. And then the next song is a collaboration with a group called the Smut Peddlers. That's crazy. Who have an album called Porn Again.
Listen, hip-hop was very confused.
Very much so. All right, let's get into this, man. I'm ready.
You're ready.
I'm ready. I'm chomping at the bit.
You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. This week's episode is split into two sides. This is Side A.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Clock Radio Speakers. I'm your co-host, Armand Wake Up. Follow me on Twitter at Armand Wake Up, A-R-M-O-N-D, Wake Up, all one word. More important than that, I say that really fast just because I want to get to this. Follow the official CRS Podcast Twitter handle, which is at CRS Podcast. Did I say follow the official CRS Podcast handle, which is at CRS Podcast? Did I just say that?
You're just really excited.
Yeah. Listen, my heart, we have taken my heart, put it on a solid gold 24-karat platter, and just a piece of my life's work we are going to talk about on this week's show. So I'm very excited. I'm very much excited. But Doc, get into your stuff, because I'm ready to get into the show, man. Doc's here, of course.
What's up, everybody? Follow me on Twitter, at @Doc_Beats, S not a Z. I'm also very excited, even though I'm not sounding excited. Please excuse me. I have attempted to go to concerts in the middle of a week twice in the last week. Like I'm still a young man. I'm not a young man anymore. So Thursday night I was up in Boston, saw Francis and the Lights opening up for, and I also saw Chance the Rapper. And then Monday night I was down in Brooklyn for another Francis and the Lights show. So I'm running on like 2.5 hours of sleep.
Yeah, but you act like you me out here.
But I'm gonna get riled up. Don't worry, because we're gonna really disagree about something at some point.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, I think we will. But, I think you retweeted what we're gonna disagree about. I was like, wait a minute, Doc retweeted this.
But before we get it, so what are we talking about this week that we're so excited about?
We are doing retrospectives back.
Retrospectives. It's retrospective season.
Yes, it is. And we are talking about Ruckus Records. So, Sound Bombing, Mos Def, Talib Kweli, DJ High Tech, Lyricist Lounge, Sound Bombing, The High and Mighty.
Pharoah Monch.
Who else was on there?
I mean,
Company Flow.
Do you want to count? You want to count Kool G?
He was on there. Wasn't My Life on Ruckus?
Mm-hmm.
Was that his biggest single?
Was that on Ruckus?
I think so. I know it was on Sound Bombing 3.
Yeah, that was on Ruckus. Actually,
he had
it was supposed to be on Ruckus.
Oh, right. Didn't he like get dropped or it got leaked or something like that?
And then it ended up on Koch.
Oh man, Graveyard. Yeah, because he had the other record called The First Nigga, and it had the DJ Premier remix.
Right.
You remember that?
That got left off.
Why?
I don't know. But anyway, we're talking Ruckus Records. From roughly 97 till about 2001, 2002.
Yeah.
So Kids in the Hall fans, I'm sorry. I mean, I'm sorry. No, Kids in the Hall fans, I'm sorry. We're not going to talk about their album. But before.
You shoot early. Shoot mad early.
I'm Kaiser Sozang right now. I'm tired, but there's a lot of shots being fired.
Okay, let's do it.
But before we do real quick, I wanted to tell everybody about what it was like to see Chance the Rapper live.
Yeah.
This guy puts on a show.
Now, let's preface this and say that, are you a Chance the Rapper fan?
I'm becoming more of one. I think Coloring Book is a good album that has some pretty good moments. I think it's inconsistent. I'm not really a big fan of acid rap. I'm not a big fan at all of 10 Day. I think I heard 10 Day maybe once, and nothing ever really stood out to me. And my feelings are validated, at least for me, by what I heard at the concert, which was interesting. He played a decent amount of his older stuff. And there's like a narrative structure to the concert that involves a giant puppet voiced by the guy who does the "You don't want no big problems." You don't want problems, big fella.
Okay. So that sounds like one of those things that you have to be there.
You have to be there to see. But it's this narrative structure of like, he's performing old stuff, but should he perform new stuff? Anyway, it actually kind of works. When I first saw photos from like night one or whatever of the tour, I was like, nah, this seems kind of corny. But dude pulls it off. Ton of fans who knew all the old stuff, which was super surprising because I would just expect like half to three quarters of the people to be like, oh yeah, he did a song with Kanye. Can I hear that? But it wasn't like that at all. He did do Ultralight Beam, which was fantastic live.
Okay.
But no, just in general, like the energy, the production quality, the whole vibe really reminded me of, I know it's trite to say it, of early Kanye. Like Kanye before he was doing the monstrosity, like 20,000, you know, seat arenas.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even kind like somewhere between like Late Registration and Glow in the Dark tour Kanye.
Okay.
He was that polished.
Okay.
I was ridiculously impressed. I was sort of expecting it to be a little with some stuff I liked, but great energy, great stage design. It was wild.
Okay.
Well, so yeah.
Good for you.
Tell me how you really feel.
That's what's up. I'm glad that the live show
was great.
I'm glad that rappers are putting a greater emphasis on the live show because they know that the live show is where the longevity is. So, you know, if you've got, we always talk about rock groups performing
right.
20, 30 years after the fact. Well, the fact that they put on a show that's worth paying all that money to their audience is a reason why. I'm not going to pay $30 to watch you in your 60s and 60 of your homeboys who all have mics violently shout at me. And tell me to get my hands in the air and, you know, put L's up and middle fingers up and whatever you rappers decide you want to do.
Put your L's up.
Yeah, we're getting there. That's why I put that out. So nah, shout out to Chance. That's what's up.
And then last night, I saw Francis and the Lights live again. This time it was a solo show, Brooklyn. This place held maybe 450 people. Ridiculous show. Like the one time you saw him live, Armand, this isn't even the same type of show at all.
Yeah.
The crowd, like, first of all, all he did was just play the new album, basically. The crowd absolutely loved it. He fed off the energy. He like went into the crowd on multiple occasions, like climbed all over stuff. People were dancing along with him. It was pretty crazy. Like to see an artist like feed off of the crowd like that was pretty cool. One of the best shows I've ever seen. No joke.
Okay. Ever?
Yeah. And it's funny because I kind of know him and his people now. I talked to him afterwards and one of his guys was like, yeah, that was, he's like, he comes up to me and Marissa and he's like, well, so you guys are the test case because you've seen, you know, we saw him open for Chance that we saw him here. And he's like, so what'd you think? And I was like, that was a completely different show. And he was just like, I wish we could do that every night. It's because it's just a different, it's a different vibe. Like you're performing in front of like a 5 to 10,000 feet, like amphitheater where you're like the opening act and people are like filtering in and you're up on this big stage versus 400 people in a big, basically on like a dance floor with a slightly barely elevated stage for the artist to be on. And you're super close. Like it's just a completely different feel.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You used the V word.
What did I say?
You said vibe.
Vibe. Oh, is that, am I not supposed to use the word vibe?
No, I'm just waiting on one of the kids to explain to me what vibes are. I know what you meant in the context of that type of vibe.
I meant 90s vibes. That's the only
thing. Yeah, you meant like R. Kelly, she's got that vibe.
I meant like Boyz II Men vibes remix. I meant vibes.
Oh, like the vibe. Oh, with Tretch? Yeah. Okay. But we're not. Yeah, but the vibes that the kids use nowadays, I don't know. I don't know what those are. I don't know if they're like wave, like. I don't know.
There's a lot of wave emojis.
Yeah, a lot of waves, spirit fingers. I don't know what vibes are. I don't know what they are. But yeah, I agree. You know, the intimate shows are always, they're just better.
Yeah.
They're just better. I think the most I performed in front of was like 2,000 people or something like that. And it was cool, but you know, like if I didn't have, I was like in a group at the time. And if I wasn't in that group, it would have been boring because it just would have been me and a bunch of strange people staring at me. As opposed to, you know, performing for 100 people inside of a small space or whatever. It's just something that you capture. You're able to connect intimately with your audience or whatever with your music. So shout out to Francis, man. He on his way, man.
Yeah, man. At some point, we're going to, maybe next week, we should, there's a whole bunch of new music out there.
Yeah. So you're talking about Solange's album.
Yeah.
That's been getting rave reviews. Have you heard it?
Not yet.
Okay.
Because you know what I've been doing all week?
What's that?
I've been listening to Raucous Records.
True.
All okay. week.
All week. Okay. So Solange put out a new album. Davies put out an album. We've talked about Davies a little bit on the show. Sky Zoo put out a project with Apollo Brown. If you listen to the show, you know I'm a huge Sky Zoo fan. Doc, not so much. Do you like Apollo Brown?
I want to like him.
Yeah. I think some of the beats on this project you'll like.
Okay.
I think you'll like them. Okay. And then I think that's it as far as new music, right?
I mean, on the pop side of things, Bon Iver put his album out. Of course, Francis put out his album. What else? What else
is out? I don't know. Well, now I got to...
just feel like there's a lot of music coming out. But anyway.
There is.
We had a real quiet spell, and now we're sort of getting back into it.
Yep. I knew that was going to happen. I knew that I was going to complain about not being inspired by anything, and the industry was going to be like, new music, you say? And they were going to, yeah. Hold on, I want to look. A new DJ Mustard album?
Yeah.
This new T... well, I didn't listen to T.I. Yeah, that's about it. And then Danny Brown, but...
I tried to listen to that.
Yeah, I don't know if we are Danny Brown's audience.
I don't know who. Yeah, I do not get Danny Brown, but that's cool.
Do you want to listen to An Evening with Brian McKnight?
Who?
Don't do that.
do the kids know Brian McKnight?
They know that he sings in a trap with birds, I think.
they might know him from the... from the Drake skit at the ESPYs, side piece.
They might know him from the video that went viral before going viral was a thing.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, that's still a thing.
All right, so now that we've gotten the pleasantries out of the way, you ready to talk Raucous Records?
Man, we are not wasting any time.
No time at all.
Now, is it that imperative that we spend virtually two sides on Raucous Records?
Raucous Records... was, I think, like, to understand it, it helps to remember how quickly and weirdly hip hop changed sounds between, say, 96 and 98 into 99.
99, absolutely. Yep.
Right. So you go from, so 96 is, you know, a whole bunch of Tupac. It's Fugees, it's Nas, there's a whole bunch of classic East Coast albums from that year. It sounds a certain way, right?
Yep.
97, as everybody knows, is the year of Bad Boy, right?
Yep.
Shiny suits everywhere. We've talked about this in the show that there were a ton of artists, you can just go down the list, who had no idea what they were supposed to do. That's how you get LL Cool J making Phenomenon, right? That's how you get...
Mike Geronimo making Nothing Moves But The Money.
Mike Geronimo. That's poor Mike Geronimo. That's how you get Jay-Z making Sunshine, right?
Which absolutely
hurt his image so hard, he immediately had to put out Streets Is Watching as like not the song but like the movie with the soundtrack and everything else. People don't really know what to do, and then 98 comes and it's DMX. It's really like the year of Def Jam, and the sound's kind of changing a little bit more. So like a lot of what I totally forgot about is how much, and this is gonna sound obvious, how much this early Raucous stuff is really just like a direct reaction to Bad Boy.
Like, yeah, so
especially these random cuts on like Sound Bombing and Lyricist Lounge Volume 1.
So when you mean a response, do you mean like a revolt?
I mean a
antithesis.
We're planting our flag down and we're saying this is real hip hop.
Oh, real hip hop.
Armand, what would you consider real hip hop in 98?
This is a question. Because the dope thing about hip hop in 1998, because right after Bad Boy comes Def Jam.
Right.
And Def Jam has a huge year in 98, largely due to DMX. This is also the beginning of the rise of the commercial rise of the mixtape. So DJ Clue, later K Slay, et cetera, Funk Flex. So there was a lot of East Coast hip hop in there. There was also a 98 was the year No Limit as well. So there was a lot to pick from if you weren't in this real hip hop bubble, because what a lot of people were doing with real hip hop and the idea of real hip hop just meant, we're not sampling from the '80s and we're not singing. Though one of the forefathers of this real hip hop movement was very melodic. We'll get into that shortly.
Mm-hmm.
But now in retrospect, now it's cool to say, oh, I was a No Limit fan, you know, hearing Master P on Solange's album, spoiler alert. No, you guys weren't Master P fans. I don't want to hear that. Don't give me that. I don't want to hear it. You weren't buying Mean Green and the Gambino Family and Magic albums every Tuesday with different covers. You weren't living this life. Don't talk to me about that. But the good thing about it is that there was so much going on in different areas, different sects, different regions of hip hop, that I think all of it was real hip hop. But there was just this idea of backpacks and camo and ski goggles and 76 bars and, you know, there's real hip hop words that I'm getting ahead of myself.
And if you made a video for it, you had to have all four elements.
Of course, there had to be tagging on the train.
Yep.
Just go watch the Company Flow
and Burners
Burn video.
I rewatched it.
Man,
that song is terrible.
Listen,
let me tell you what we didn't do. We did not listen to Company Flow for this. I'm just going to say it right now.
Listen, I know LP is championed now because of his work with Run the Jewels. I'm still not crazy about his production. It was worse back then.
Run the Jewels is so far beyond, especially Run the Jewels 2. His work there is so much better than anything on that Company Flow album.
It's not good. I was trying to acquire the album, and the resources would not let me. And I felt like that was God telling me.
There were a couple on here where it was kind of hard to find.
Yeah, I feel like it was God putting his hand on. He was putting his hand on my hand, saying, "Okay, that's enough. Don't go too far." So no Company Flow on Clock Radio speakers. No Fun Crusher Plus. Now I'm got 3.5 mics. I remember that.
Which
random.
Is a polite way of saying forget you.
Yeah, you're trash. Kick rocks. But you were really nice when you came to the offices.
Right, because 3 is like we got a serious problem on our hands.
3 was your career's over.
I think only once. There was 1, 2.5. I can't remember.
Young MC got either one or two. No, Young MC got one mic. There was a female rapper who got 2, 2.5. That was the issue with Busta Rhymes on the cover, where When Disaster Strikes got 4 mics.
Everything. We've talked about it on the show. Everything got 4 mics.
Everything got 4 mics. What was the most surprising review to see Black Rob's Life Story get 4.5?
I really liked that album at the time.
Yeah, not to say it didn't deserve it. It was just like, whoa, really? Black Rob got 4.5 mics?
Well, okay. the Hangman 3.
Didn't count.
Right.
Made Men didn't count. Classic, whatever. Yeah. That didn't count.
What else was a surprise?
And I heard Tommy's theme like 2 weeks ago. That and the Untouchables Heatmakers beat. That's why I don't slander Benzino, for those two reasons.
I'm trying to think like what else. What was actually a surprise? It means it must have been the time when I still cared and before we knew that they were totally terrible. So like, you know what? Maybe was it that Murder Music got 4.5?
Yes, it did.
Yeah, but I'm trying to think, was I surprised by that?
Did you have the Virgin Fleet?
I did not. Not until much later.
I still need that.
Anyway, let's do Raucous Records.
Let's do it, man. Where are we starting it? If we're not doing company flow, what are we doing first?
I want to briefly touch on Sound Bombing and Lyricist Lounge Volume 1. Briefly.
Okay. Before that, was this your introduction to Raucous Records?
My introduction, I'm not going to even pretend that this was my introduction. My introduction to Raucous Records was the video to Definition. With many people, if you're being honest with yourself.
Not me.
Mm.
Only because I didn't like Definition. I'm like the
just save it, because we're gonna yell.
Okay. My bad. We're gonna yell. We'll get into it later I'll answer mine when we talk about the album, because it was an album that introduced me to Raucous. I went back because of that album and got these two roughly around the same time.
Okay.
Because you always had a friend in your high school who was like a super dummy backpack hip hop head.
And if you didn't have that friend, then you were that friend.
Yes.
Just to get some awareness.
I had the friend, and then I became
the friend. You became the friend, right.
Yep.
So outside of maybe like four songs, this first Sound Bombing project is absolutely terrible.
You know, terrible doesn't begin to describe. I can say that because I bought this.
I bought this for
$17.99. I remember, because it was like, yo, this is wild expensive, but I have to have it because this other project was just so. Listen. What was the name? Which record was this? Can I play this record? Let me play this record. Let me tell you how bad. Hold on. This is so bad.
Oh, God.
Unnecessary. Hold on. What is this?
Real hip hop,
son. Mad drums, incoherent scratching, no flow. Listen, we're gonna get into what 90% of the Raucous roster was talking about in their lyrics. Because if we're gonna talk about Ghostface being nonsensical, we absolutely have to talk about virtually everybody not making any sense at all on many of their songs that were related to Raucous and real hip hop in general.
So what's not bad on here is Arabian Nights, Shabim Sadiq.
Shout out to Shabam Sadiq. I'm not crazy about Arabian Nights, but he's got joints. He's got one of my favorite joints on another compilation we'll talk about shortly.
Fortified Live.
Classic.
Universal Magnetic.
Taylor, if you're listening to this, let's rhyme over Fortified Live.
Okay. Universal Magnetic is a classic.
Classic.
And 2000 Seasons.
That's it.
The rest of this you can ignore.
Can we talk about the B-side freestyle quickly?
Okay.
Or the side B freestyle. When the beat switches, the beat is cool. It reminds me of like those, you know, late 90s, early 2000s underground hip hop beats. Is freestyling still a thing that is looked upon fondly? Where it's like, yo, they're freestyling. They didn't write this. Written's a forbidden.
Well, there's a very famous freestyle that we are actually going to talk about later on in the Raucous catalog.
Yeah. Okay. But I mean, like an actual off the top freestyle.
Well, I think it's sort of like, it's almost a different skill altogether.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different thing. It has about as much relationship between, there's as much to do with, can you freestyle at the top and can you make music? Those two things aren't necessarily the same thing. There are some people who could do both, but just because you can do one doesn't mean you can do the other. Not even close. So I'm trying to think of an example. I mean, it would be sort of, I mean, like if you were thinking like, it'd be like, well, you can box, but you can do MMA. Well, they're kind of completely different, even though they seem like they should be similar.
Absolutely.
Anything else you want to say about Soundbomb?
I think that freestyling is the equivalent of hot sauce dribbling a lot and then blowing the layup or getting the ball stolen, which happened to hot sauce a lot. If you watch the ESPN 2 and 1 special, where's the professor at?
In general, there are definitely times where like, if I had to assign a gift to some of these early like verses on these early like Rockets compilation projects, it would just be of Hot Sauce dribbling over and over and over again. There's a whole lot of movement. Not a whole lot actually happening.
Yeah, the defender can just stand there. You don't gotta stay in front of him. You just stand there and you know, keep your arms up. But yeah, I'm good on sound bombing one. Yeah, let's talk Lyricist Lounge Volume 1.
Quickly. There's actually a song on here called Bring Hip Hop Back.
Oh my God! Yo! I used to love that record.
Oh no! Oh God, why?
I'm telling you, man, like Raucous Records is all in my DNA. And
oh no.
Bring Hip Hop. When I heard that, I was like, yo, this is kind of tough. We gotta bring hip.
But by Cypher Complete.
Cypher Complete! That is such a real hip hop. Okay, real hip hop phrases and characteristics. Something having to do with a cipher, something having to do with completeness. Put the two together. Don't forget about rhyming Atlas and Axis and backwards and rappers.
Now listen,
all those things.
You better
together.
Be careful because you're treading very closely to what half of RZA's verses sounded like in 1997. Okay,
RZA was a rappity rapper. Oh, also, oh, here we go. I'm gonna jump all in the RZA pool. Absolute, overt, and blatant 5% theology in the rhyme.
Well, that comes from the Cypher Complete, right?
Yeah. I mean, he starts it off by talking about the gods and the earths.
Right.
But it's all over the Raucous catalog. Everywhere, but that was a staple of real hip hop. Like the 5% culture is really heavy in hip hop. It has a very staunch history. I don't know if staunch is the right word, but a very deep history in hip hop. It is what it is.
So for some reason, this is two CDs. Two. Let's see. Body Rock's not bad.
Body Rock is cool.
I wasn't paying attention. I was like, I wasn't looking at the track list. I just had it listening. And when I saw the names Punch and Words pop up, I was just like, oh my God.
Son, you could not tell me Wordsworth wasn't like the next dude in 1998.
Mm.
Like based off of, we'll get to his most famous verse, but the Lyricist Lounge Show on MTV.
Right.
Those episodes are on YouTube, by the way. There's a gym. Had Tracy Ellis Ross on there. Hi, Tracy. And we've come a long way, man. Punching words. Not punching words. Punchline and Wordsworth.
Just then, you really actually think about the name Wordsworth?
Because his words are worth something.
It sounds right? Like he's trying to be like a fake British butler.
Yo,
if you were to give Redman a reality show by MTV in the late 90s, he would have had a butler named Wordsworth.
Yeah. Yo, I forgot what I was going to say. Can I just point out that, and I'm going to say this knowing that one of our listeners, shout out to Jay Givens, I believe his cousin is a part of this group.
Okay.
Listen, Jurassic 5 is one of the worst things to happen to hip hop.
Jurassic 5.
We don't need barbershop quartets in hip hop.
Jurassic 5 is supreme bring hip hop backery.
Absolutely. And I just imagine them with like red and white pinstripe suits standing in a circle. What? Like that's their cipher.
There was a, I'm trying to think, what was there a Jurassic 5 song I liked?
There better not be because we're going to end this show right now.
You know, Quality Control wasn't terrible.
What is Quality Control by Jurassic 5?
Yeah, that was one of their singles. That was one of their singles.
Hold on. We're going to get this right. I got to bring the big boy out because we're going to play a lot of records. I need to hear this.
Okay.
Hold on. Jurassic 5.
I remember. Now, I did not listen to it for this because they weren't on Raucous. They might as well have been on Raucous.
Right. They really should have.
They were proto-Raucous.
Yeah. They were like everybody who was like an underground hip hop head on the West Coast.
Yeah.
Like they were Raucous, but they weren't. So your Planet Asia's, your
Planet Asia, right?
Yeah, Planet Asia. God, I'm drawing a blank. No, listen.
Next, we have a very, very big group.
No.
You remember this?
I do, because they used to play this on every episode of MTV Cribs. This was the fast forward music to go from the kitchen to the garage.
So the only things that really stuck out to me is, yeah, actually, there's nothing really in here. This is a lot of struggle, and it shouldn't be that much struggle because, like, I'm looking at like who produced on here. Like, we got Knots, DJ Scratch, High Tech, Sean J, 88 Keys. Like, this shouldn't have been as bad as it is.
Yeah,
this is a lot of. Ugh.
I will go with Body Rock is cool.
It's all right.
I used to like Famous Last Words. Famous. I remember there's this after Mike Zoo All in My Own. There's a skit after that where De La Soul freestyling over this beat. I used to think that was the most beautiful beat in hip hop history. Like, I used to just sit there and listen to that beat just in a daze of how amazing I thought it was. Nothing else.
All right.
On here.
Well, good, because now we can get to the stuff that really matters.
All right, let's do it.
Let's talk about Black Star.
I thought you were going to go somewhere completely different, but okay.
Where was I supposed to go?
No, we'll get there.
Okay.
We'll get there.
Let's talk about Black Star.
Let's do it.
This is an interesting album to me because it's not perfect.
Got 3.5 mics.
That is way too low for this album.
But that was the episode, or that was the issue they had. Lauren, that was when Jay got 4.5. That was when Outkast got 5.
Right.
Like, all that was in one issue.
Right. We have just passed the 18th anniversary of that September 29th.
Goodness gracious.
I know. Yeah. This is not a perfect album, but I think I think some people would consider this a classic album.
Without question. Without a question. Here in Ohio, it's a complete classic because of Brown Skin Lady being produced by J. Rawls, who was like a pillar in the city. So yeah, without question.
And it's an incredibly important record for Ruckus.
Oh, without question.
And so I have track by track notes. I don't know how you want to talk about this album, but we should talk about that. Let's just start by talking about Definition.
You go ahead and talk about Definition, because my only response is it's not that good.
This is the song.
No.
And Redefinition together are...
Oh, my God. Redefinition is classic. Definition is not.
Definition's great. And what's amazing about it is, like, to me, like, this is the moment when I think I knew I was like, oh, right, Mos Def is going to be, like, that guy.
You want me to go on my Mos Def rant now, or should I wait until Black on
Black? I mean, you can wait.
No.
I think
No. You can wait.
You can wait. The video to this is great. This was the first Ruckus record to really get video airplay on MTV and BET.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I love the beat. I know you don't like it. So what is it? Is it the beat for you that you don't like?
Yeah, it's the beat.
Okay.
It's a little too hippity hop for me. I wanted to do more.
I mean, yeah, it's hippity hop. I mean, it's, yeah, anyway. The timing for this song and when it came out, when it was a single, super important.
Yes, agree.
Because it's summer of 98 leading up to the album coming out. And... This is the first single, and we had just come off of 97. We had just come off of Shiny Suits Everywhere. And so we had Def Jam providing one alternative, Shiny Suits Everywhere.
Yeah.
It'd be a great name for a Puff Daddy song.
like a ride at an amusement park or something like that.
It's a terrible, interesting. You could have, like a hip hop theme park. That'd be
God.
Terribly corny.
It'd be terribly corny.
Oh my God.
I'd still want to go.
You totally would go.
Yeah, I would go. Have to take my kids. You know what I'm saying? Like, they gotta learn.
You'd have to have the ability to star in your own Hype Williams video.
Oh, now that would be fire. No.
You get to reenact the opening to Belly.
Okay, see, that's nothing about this is corny. All of this is great.
You get to float in the big air tube, whatever that they do in the Mo Money Mo Problems video.
Do you get to wrap in a trash bag like the Missy video?
Absolutely.
Like the ring?
Absolutely.
Right. I'm down.
See? You get to, remember how like back in the 90s you would buy the disposable cameras?
Of course.
Right. So here they're bringing it back, but they're all with the fisheye lens. So every picture you take is fisheye.
I'm so down for all of this show.
All right. Anyway. So it's 98, summer 98. Def Jam's offering, like, here's one sound, right? Here's DMX. Jay-Z's put out singles all summer. This is one, and this is like the first, like, Swiss Beats is breaking through. Nori's coming out. Like, there's a certain kind of sound. And then Raucous is giving you a different lane. And, yeah. I think that's why, it's part of why the timing for this song was, when it was released, was so important. But I just think Definition's a great song. And then Redefinition. Bro.
Redefinition. I love the transition from Definition. It's great.
That beat. Oh my God.
Beat is nuts. And then just the beat is crazy. And then even most singing the same hook with a different melody, like just little things.
So
little things.
Quali is great on this, but the moment when most comes in is a moment. Like, it just feels, you're like, wow. Like, I can't.
It happens.
I realize it does happen a lot, but like, that song is just, even now, like, it is unbelievable. Love Redefinition.
It's not even the best song on the album, and that's, but nothing you're saying is wrong. Nothing you're saying is wrong.
Okay. I can't wait to see which, well, I have two possibilities. Anyway, we'll get there. How do you feel about Children's Story?
It's one of those things where, like, it's, again, most is just skating on, like, these blank canvases. Like, it's not a record that I go to, but whenever I hear it, it's just like most was a freaking alien in 1998.
Mm. The aforementioned Brown Skin Lady, produced by J. Rawls.
Yep. Shout out to Rawls. to hear him still play this record and still be excited about it is just like, you have to go to his studio and hear the whole story, and he plays the sample and he talks about it and how it came, like, it's a whole, like, mini movie of how that record came together. I'm not even going to try and, like, repeat that story. But shout out to Rawls, man. Rawls is the one guy who should be snotty and stuck up, and he is not at all. So shout out to Rawls, man. That's my guy. We need to get him on the show.
So I'm immediately suspicious of any song after 1998 that has B-Boys in the title.
Yeah, I'm good off this record.
Yeah, I was going to say, you'll all be shocked to hear that there's a break and it tries to sound like an 80s record. I'm good. Yeah.
I'm good on this.
Next record.
Knowledge of Self, Determination. Yeah.
This is not my favorite, but it's a classic song.
Yeah, classic song.
This is the Reflection Eternal song, basically, right?
We'll get to Quali. We'll get to Quali shortly.
That's a... Since it's, yes. All right. Not just Self-Determination. Hater Players. No. Sorry, Sean J. Then we get an interlude. We're rushing through because the way this album closes out is
great.
Unreal.
Amazing. Yep.
Let's talk about Respiration.
Best song on the album.
Produced by High Tech, featuring Common. So much going on here. First of all, this beat. Oh.
Beat is amazing. Shout out to Taylor and B. Moses for courageously stepping up to the challenge of rapping over this, because this is one of those records, like, you just, as an MC,
right,
like, what can you do with this besides pay homage? You can't kill it. You just have to pay homage, because most Quali and most in Common just
right
from a, ugh, but the beat is everything. The video everything about this record.
About
this record is perfect.
Did you read the history of Raucous that I sent you?
Fudge. No.
Okay. So
saw it and I meant to and I did.
One of the great things that they talk about there is they were really mad that they didn't sign Common. Because Common put out the album in 97, but people weren't really, like, people thought that album was good, but not amazing.
Yeah, not at all.
And, you know, Raucous with Respiration, and then almost immediately afterwards, in terms of, like, when it was marketed as a video and a single, they've got 1999, 1999, which we'll get to in a bit. But they basically, like, reintroduced him. You know what I mean? Like, Raucous, like, brought him back.
Yep.
And then MCA looked at
looked at the numbers the Roots were doing, and they said, oh yeah, we want some more of that.
Yeah.
And then they signed Common, and then, you know. But yeah, Common and High Tech together.
Yeah, they've got a couple records. You're right.
Yeah. Yep.
They've got a couple records, and none of them are decent.
No, they're all good to great.
Yep.
Yeah, Hook on this is classic. Like, Respiration is just like, it's a perfect song.
Yep, without question.
You know what else is a great song?
Go ahead.
Thieves in the Night.
Yes.
Oh, 88 Keys. This.
Yes.
I love this beat so much.
Yep.
This hook.
Yep.
Having Mos Def in 98 doing your hook is such an advantage.
Yep.
Talib brings it on. Like, yeah, Thieves in the Night is amazing.
Yep.
And then,
I mean, it was there, yeah.
Even though we're talking about closing it out with a posse cut, Twice in a Lifetime is fantastic.
Yes, it is.
Jane Doe.
Jane Doe.
That opening, like, she immediately, the way she starts it off, you're just like, oh, okay, we're going somewhere with this.
Yes, we are.
Punching Words, produced by High Tech. The way this album ends is so strong.
Yeah.
Like, I just want to cut out chunks of the set. So to me, there's like, I know you don't like Definition, but to me, there are five or six amazing records on this song, on this album.
Yep.
So I understand why some people might say it's classic. It's tough because there are definitely chunks of this I would say, but I get it.
Yep. It's one of those things where maybe not necessarily the music is classic. Some of the music is, but as a total body of work, not necessarily. But number one, the records that are classic are unquestionably, unmistakably classic. Number two, as you alluded to earlier, what they represented in that current climate of hip hop made it weightier. So it became like a cult classic, which then what Ruckus grew into, what Mos, what Quali, what Common, what people who sort of ate off of that sort of style and that mantra, it was one of the forefather projects, for lack of a better term, for that, which is why it's classic.
Did you that's 99. Okay, so what's the next thing we want to talk about?
Yeah, what's next, son?
I think we should talk about Sound Bombing too. Are you ready for this?
My heart.
I know.
My heart, it flutters. I can't talk objectively about this album.
So the Black Star album was the first one where I was like, oh, okay, Ruckus. This is what unleashed full nerdery and stannery for Ruckus. This album.
Yes, it did. For me, this was the album that introduced me to Ruckus, and this album changed my life.
Hmm.
Without question.
Why do you say that?
It was my, oh, okay, this is what we're doing.
Mm.
Like, this was my introduction into rappity rap. Like, I was always in it, of course, like, you know, but back then it was your hippity hop. Rappity rap was like Mobb Deep, Boot Camp Click, you know, even Wu-Tang Clan. But this was different from that.
Yes.
Everything from the DJs actually mixing, doing a mixed tape, to transitions, the interludes with them just cutting on it, Eminem's on it, just Pharrell's on. This is my first time hearing Pharrell. Pharrell's on it. It just, where I was at in my life at the time, just a kid, I think I was like 16 when this came out, 15, 16. The summer that my sister's boyfriend at the time, his brother put me onto it, I'd made them detour to take me to the mom and pop store to buy the project after hearing, I heard it in the car and I said, no, I need this right now.
Right.
Let's go to the store and get it. We went and got it. Just, there's too many other factors that make this project just an unmistakable game changer. It's one of the 10 albums that absolutely fortified and shaped my music and just things about me and hip hop, period. Period. So I can't talk objectively about this album.
Some parts of this did not age well.
I agree.
Specifically, even though I still know them all by heart, to the point where, like, I was listening to in the car and I was waiting for like the different scratches to come in. I knew each part and each repeated vocal. But there's a lot of these songs where I was like, all right, listen, I don't need a minute of you cutting up the intro to Any Man.
Hey.
I'm just saying.
Relax.
Speaking of Any Man, your boy, Marshall Mathers.
Man.
So this is a classic song, but this has not aged well at all.
There's no way Eminem could exist in 2016.
What do you mean by that?
Just his content.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yes. It's amazing how hypersensitive our culture is, but like the very offensive things that we do let go, but then the other things that we say that's too much.
I was gonna say, have you noticed who's running for president right now?
I get it.
Okay,
I get it. I'm not saying that it's justified. I'm saying that, you know, God, there's misogyny because there's a couple records. I was like, really? There's misogyny in underground hip hop? Absolutely. There's that, and then there's some of the things that Eminem was talking about in 1997, 1998. Because I feel like in 99, Eminem, you know, he blows up with My Name Is. And then at the time, all the Eminem fans, I had one of my best friends from high school was a huge Eminem fan, and we would literally just scour the internet for obscure Eminem anything. So met a retarded kid named Greg with a wooden leg, like,
yeah,
all those random of course Infinite, but just random radio freestyles and Bad Meets Evil stuff. Oh, scary movies, good lord. Like, there's no way that Eminem exists in 2016. It just would not happen.
I don't know if that's bad though.
Well, okay, so what, from a subject of from a content perspective, or just from like his delivery flow? Like,
no, I mean a content perspective. Like,
okay,
some of his old stuff is, I mean, it's just terrible.
Yeah,
it's bad.
He has a verse on another album that we're talking about, and he was just like on one tempo, like he literally just stops rapping. Like, his verse doesn't end. They just cut off the verse because he like takes a breath, and they splice the hook in.
Any Man is, yeah, that beat. Come I don't on, know. Man.
I'm ice grilling you, staring you down with a grin to grin. I'm Eminem. Oh, I can't even finish that bar.
Some of these beats are, some of them are still classics. Some of them, like, can we talk about B-Boy Document 99? Can you even prepare yourself?
Yo, let me see. I know Skills verse by heart still to this day. His verse came on and I immediately went, you off the engine, I'm hot to death, I'm like crazy.
I shot the ref. Yeah, really. Oh boy. It's a classic song.
It is. Again, most Def on a hook is a cheat code.
The beat's kind of terrible in a very 1999 way.
Fun fact, I was going to rhyme over Def on Snooze Button 3.
Oh, no.
I couldn't get past it. I was like, man, this isn't, yeah.
Not the video.
I didn't watch the video. Were there like, weren't there like chicks in the video? Didn't they try to turn into like a glossy, shiny suit video?
No, it's like some kung fu sci-fi thing, but then backpack at the same time. Like, Skills is throwing out lightning strikes from his hand like he's in Mortal Kombat.
Were the lightning strikes made out of, or were they in the shape of microphones? Because that's a very real hip hop rockets records thing to do. It's like yellow mics.
Clearly, they were trying to spend some budget, and it just looks terrible. You didn't watch the video?
Nah, I didn't watch. I didn't watch a whole lot of. I'm telling you, number one, I didn't have time. Number two, a lot of these I remember. Much as I don't remember this, but
the video is, I tweeted out, it's completely ridiculous. But we can keep moving because we got a lot to talk about.
Let's do it.
World War III.
I used to love this record.
I used to love this song.
Shabam Sadiq, Pharaoh Monch, what?
Right.
Did not age well.
No, this beat is not good right now. And it's weird because... And it's weird because we talk about Mancha's album. I'm going to basically say lovely things for like 20 minutes. But like...
Interesting.
But this... No. No. Sorry. Sorry, Manch. There's another Mancha record later. We're going to talk about that. You know. But this... Nah.
Mm.
You know what age better than I thought it would be? Is
that?
R.A. the Rugged Man. Stanley Kubrick.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I'm pretty sure I played a lot of Driver on PlayStation 1 with this playing in the background.
See, there you go.
It's that nostalgia hook.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, I never liked this record.
Really?
Nah. I didn't even get a chance to rant and rave about how hilariously awkward his rant is at the beginning of Soundbomb and One. Like, it's everything. Like, he's talking about not being able to get pretty girls because pretty girls don't like him. So he's only with ugly chicks. And he's like, the only thing uglier than ugly chicks is you whack rappers or something like that. And he just goes into, oh my God, where are all these whack rappers? They're out now. Like, if all these rappity rap, real hip hop lines would have been applicable now. But like back then, where were they? Not that they weren't whack. It was different.
Right. The secret is he was dissing dudes on the same compilations. No, I'm just kidding. How do you feel about Crosstown Beef?
Love it.
I never knew that dude from De La Soul, Paz. I never knew he produced this.
Did he?
Yeah.
Interesting.
But this is Medina Green, Mos Def. Again, 98, 99, Mos Def on a hook.
He got a verse too.
Yeah, but I mean, like, it just takes, like, it's a cool song, but it takes it and kind of elevates it.
Yep. Yeah, the hook is classic. I really like this beat. I love it's weird, like, a concept, like, rappity rap dudes. 5% is, like, talking about going to a club and killing somebody. Like, right. All right, that's cool. That's what you want to do? Yeah. Where is Medina Green? It's like, somebody listen to this episode, hit me up and let me know where Medina Green is. I just want to thank him for this record. Mm. Really, really, really like this record. And the next one as well.
7XL.
Nah, that beat is crazy.
It's cool.
And Grand Pooba skates on that.
I've totally forgot that Brand Nubian had their mini comeback in 98.
They sure did. Don't let it go to your head.
Don't let it go to your head. Yeah. What was the other record they had?
They had a Primo beat.
Oh, no.
I think it's called The Return.
That was... Oh! Yeah, that beat is dope. Hold on.
Brand Nubian. Yeah, that jump was dope.
Yeah, what else did they put out? Hold on. They had another single that was like...
That was it.
Nope, hold on. Back Up Off the Wall.
Oh my God. I don't even know what that is.
Okay, you should play that right now.
I'm going to. Back Up Off the Wall. There we go. Oh, they put out a video for this.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Oh, what?
Oh!
Right.
Really? Oh, that beat is hard.
Yeah,
that beat was hard. That's a I might write that down. Is the instrumental? All right. Yeah. Snooze button 4.5.
Don't know. No.
I know. I'm not.
Yeah, 7XL is cool.
No, 7XL is dope.
Reflection Eternal Chaos.
I liked it at the time.
Yeah. I used to love this a lot. I don't know how well it's aged. You know, a record surprised me. I never really used to like Tash and Dilated People sound bombing, but
yeah, that record's hard.
You know what? I used to think it was too slow, but compared to BPMs now, it's fine.
Yeah.
And Tash kills guest appearances.
Yes. Tash had a run too. Rap Life.
Oh, they really tried with Tash.
They did. Tash is from he's from Columbus, I guess. Like everybody thought he was from LA.
I thought he was an LA rapper.
Nah, he's from Columbus. Because all of my like rappity rap elder statesmen, they always claim him. They claim him and Busy Bone. Because Busy Bone's from here too.
Wiki says Tash is from Cincinnati, but the producer is from Columbus. No, Toledo. I don't know.
All right, that doesn't count. Shout out to Toledo.
Keep making them that way. All right.
I'm not just different.
But no, sound bombing, I was like, okay. That beat's hard.
Yeah, nah, that beat is super hard. Yep. That was that's Babu, right?
Evidence.
Evidence. Yeah, Evidence. He had a couple.
A record I don't ever really remember caring about is Brooklyn Hard Rock. Thurston Howell III, a great rapper name. That sample's hard.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's talk about what I'm here to talk about. My man Pharamunch with Mayor. This song is amazing.
Officer Fleming. They made me bust out loud laughing at work.
Right. Then they bring in the sampled gunshots from the scene in Air Force One. And then they go right to it. I was like, man, come on.
Yeah.
That beat. Woo.
Yeah. Who else used that sample?
Oh, now you're going to.
Clips.
Oh, wait, that sample Shine? Oh, no.
Hey, hold on. What do you mean Shine?
It's Lamont Dozier, Shine. Really?
Who?
Yeah.
Do you remember Ellen, right?
Yeah. Same. You know what also samples it? Levels.
Level Meek.
Yes. Same record. I've sampled this. I've definitely sampled this before.
I'm sure you have.
Anyway, no. Mayor's ridiculous.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I love that. Company Flow, your favorite patriotism?
I'm always back and forth on patriotism. I'm not gonna lie. Like at the time I hated it, and then like a few months or years later, because I ran it out into the ground, then I liked it, and then I think I heard it like 2 years ago, and I was like, hey, this is kind of dope. And then I heard it this time, and I was like, nah.
It came on when I was running, and I was just the only thing I could think of is like he's really just throwing as many words as possible into each bar.
Yeah.
With no regard for where the words are supposed to be.
And then I'm America. Come on, man.
Let's talk about 1999.
Man.
Common this and song, high tech.
This song feels really good, man.
Why is that?
It's something about high tech's production.
Yeah.
That's just very it's like feel good. This just felt good when I heard it. I haven't heard it in a while. But yeah, Common and Sadat, they both skate on this.
Sadat's impossible. Cool.
Come on, man, don't do that.
I'm just saying. I didn't realize this till I listened to for this episode. This is basically the template for Sixth Sense.
Huh?
The way the song sounds, the way the video is kind of set up, basically Common's record Sixth Sense is like a sequel to this.
Hmm.
That's me anyway. The hook to this though, I love it so much. When I was listening to this when I was running, and I started doing the 1999 part with my hands because I'm a nerd like that. I couldn't resist. It was like involuntary.
Yeah,
this record's great, amazing. Great. One of the reasons why I love this album. This Diamond D record is cool.
Nah,
but Next Universe,
freaking A, bro.
Most Def.
Most definitely, man.
My goodness. Again, high tech. And when we talk about this Most Def album, the one thing when we get there. The one thing that I realized is there's no high tech on it.
There was it?
No.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. Even though almost everything he did with high tech was perfect.
Yeah.
But no, like after Black Star and then with what he's doing on this album, like everybody wanted that Mos Def album immediately.
Without question.
Yeah.
He was far and away the star of Ruckus Records. He was the, man, I'll wait.
Yeah. And then the last record I think that's really worth talking about is Reflection Eternal on Mission. I used to really like this song. I don't know why. I don't think it sounds that good now.
Meh.
But there's a lot. I mean, there's a lot of stuff packed into this album.
Yeah.
But no, I could just. There's like 8 songs off here that I would just run back constantly.
Yeah. How many songs are on here without the skits or the intros or the interludes or whatever?
Counting down.
It's gonna be what, like 12, 13,
16.
Interesting. Okay, 8 of 16.
At least 8 of 16, yeah. That's not bad.
That's not bad for an album.
For a compilation. That's not bad at all.
Agreed. Nah, so, man. Shout out to Soundbomb.
So, really briefly, this High and Mighty album.
Yo, man. Okay, so which one was the rapper? Was it Mr. Eon or was it Mighty Mai? Eon was the rapper, right?
Mr. Eon. Mighty Mai was a DJ.
Listen,
slash
man.
Producer.
That... He was like the prototype of the underground MC in 1999. Like, when I kick this, the lyrics, it is mystic. Get this. When I split this, you can hit this. Are you with this? Get the picture in a splitcher. Like, shut. Oh, my God. It was so bad going back and hearing this. Like, nothing about it was redeeming from a lyrical standpoint.
So, there are... 2 Alchemist beats on here, a handful of Reef beats, and he's all right. The rest of this is DJ Mighty Mai. Here's the thing, like, as we heard on B-Boy Document 99, like, these Mighty Mai beats definitely don't hold up in any way. And then Mr. Eon's not really a good rapper. So I'm really confused as to, like, the point of the High and Mighty.
Yeah.
Right? Because, like, typically if you've got, you know, a rapper-producer combo, one of them's supposed to be good. It's not clear to me who, which, between Mr. Eon and Mighty Mai, who was supposed to be the good one? Not at all clear.
That's funny.
But that Alchemist beat on Top Prospects is crazy.
Nah.
Aww. Alchemist in 99 could do no wrong.
No, I agree. I hold that. I was thinking about that today. Like, what is my favorite era of Alchemist? 99, 2000 Alchemist is either one or two, probably two.
What's better than that?
I'm going to take Alchemist like Return of the Mac era.
No.
Like
no.
07, 08.
No,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No. There's a record we're going to talk about in a little bit that completely validates my fear.
Okay. I think I know what you're talking about.
Everybody should.
We hope you enjoyed Side A of this week's episode. Please check out Side B at clockradiospeakers.com.